So on Tuesday of this week, I discovered just how waterproof my rain boots are. My boots, if you haven't seen them, are pretty much the only water-resistant shoes I own. I'm pretty picky when it comes to what I wear, so when I find shoes I like, I wear them until their bottoms literally fall off. That means when there's even a hint of rain or water outside, I bust out my trusty boots. They're thick with a heavy heel, banana yellow in color, and come up to the middle of my calf. They usually work great, but Tuesday was a different story. My family and I were visiting the Cape Cod National Seashore on the one good weather day we had. Since it rained the day before and the temperature was hovering around 40, we bundled up in our winter coats and our rain boots and headed to the beach. I had the bright idea to hike 2 miles along the beach to visit a lighthouse. That hike went as well as could be expected, since my unrealistic expectations and unrestrained optimism ran headfirst into the reality of taking a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old on a very physical hike. We didn't make it very far before we got stuck in a tide pool. The ocean waves were pounding the beach, sending the water inland. The pool at first didn't look very deep, but a few steps into it, and we suddenly sank. I soon had 2 very wet kids and some very wet socks because the water came up to my knees, pouring over the top of my boots and filling them up. When we finally managed to get out of the tide pool, I took off my boots and poured the water out of them. I slipped them back on, only to hear a large squeak every time I took a step. My family decided to head back to our warm and very dry Airbnb, but I decided to press on towards the lighthouse. I found a way through the tide pool and headed along the sandy shore, with each step going squeak. After about a half mile of this, I noticed my boots filling up again with water. Each step I took was squeezing the water out of my socks, but since the water couldn't go out, it just stayed in my watertight boots. Every step I took meant more squeaks as the loose sand on the beach made my feet sink, causing each step to be harder than the one before. These boots, designed to bring me comfort and protection so that I could engage the world with dry feet, ended up trapping me in miserable wetness to the point where each step was a struggle that I didn't necessarily want to take. Now, today is our 3rd week in the first letter of John. We've already seen how this letter isn't really a letter. It's more a statement of what the letter writer believes. Some kind of split in their community, based on different understandings of Jesus himself, has caused the larger, more successful part of their church to leave. What remained behind was the smaller group, the ones that wrote this letter, trying to get the larger group to come back. But at the same time, the author of 1 John affirmed that the Jesus we know, who lived a human life and ended up nailed to a cross, that Jesus is truly God's Son. Jesus can't be split into 2 different parts, into a human side and a divine. He is 100% one of us. And at the very same time, 100% God. His entire life mattered. His death mattered. And his resurrection mattered too. To know Jesus is to embody and live out his whole entire story. So that means our life should love and help and make sacrifices for others just like he did. And we're told to do this every single day because God's love never takes a break. Which sounds, from our very human point of view, as an utterly exhausting way to live. Because each one of us woke up this morning with things we have to do. There's the basic stuff like eating and the other things we do or have done for us to cover the bare minimum of our human living. Some of us are working today or getting ready to go back to work tomorrow. Others are figuring out who will take which kid to practice, who will shop for food this week, who will try to get their taxes finished before their extension expires, and who will visit their parents knowing that they might have to say goodbye. It's amazing how things sort of just pile up, drowning us in all that we need to do. And then there are still more of us feeling lonely or scared or worried, who wished we had a longer to-do list to distract us from our feelings. The complexity of everyday living is tiring all on its own. So it can feel overwhelming when our faith seems to be asking us to do one more thing. It's like if on our daily to-do list, we had to write, "Be Jesus to everyone," on it each and every day. Our faith, this living and breathing and evolving relationship with Jesus, can bring us so much comfort, peace, and a sense of purpose. But it can also, at the very same time, demand a lot from us. The flip side of faith is that faith itself, this force that causes us to trust God, is a gift that God freely gives us. But it's also a gift that compels us to become something new that loves like Jesus can. Faith, which can protect and guide us as we wade through the sinking sands and tide pools of our lives, can also overwhelm us when crisis, busyness, worry, and our everyday reality cause us to feel trapped, lost, confused, and wondering where God is right now. When the comforts of faith collide with the demands of faith, we can feel trapped in the sinking sand, unsure if we even want to take our next forward step. Which is why 1 John says that we should. Because when we live out the life of faith, we discover the faith we already have. Faith doesn't ask us to add one more thing to our to-do list. Faith asks us to reorient the list we already have by recommitting ourselves each and every day to that Jesus who has already committed himself to us. When we love like Jesus, when we examine all our doings and decide to root them in God's only Son, we not only show others who we know Jesus to be, but we also reveal to ourselves that we truly are God's children. We might not always believe that, or we might doubt that this Jesus matters. But what we do in our everyday life reveals to each of us the identity we were given at our baptism. We, so long ago, were made followers of Jesus. We were made into faithful and faith-filled people. And we are, even today, loved. When we see clearly how much God loves us, how much Jesus on the cross was meant for you and for me, the easier it becomes for us to love, to see the needs of this world and give our gifts, our resources, and even our lives so that others can thrive. A confident faith doesn't mean that we will wade through life fully protected from the struggles, harms, and challenges that life will bring us. A confident faith, above all, holds on to our identity as beloved children of God, so that even in those moments when our faith is overwhelmed, flooded with anxiety and doubt, so that our next steps feel heavy, hard, squishy, and full of the unknown, we still know we aren't alone. And then, even when we are afraid, we can love and serve like Jesus, because Jesus never stops loving and serving us. Amen.